2,500 years ago, God used a statue to show Daniel the entire course of world history, from the beginning to the end of time. How accurate was Daniel's prophecy? And how close are we to the end? We'll talk about it today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Our Bible teacher is Dr. Gary Hedrick, and his subject today is Daniel's Image, Key to Things to Come. I'll be back at the close of the program to tell you about our special offer. And now, with today's installment, here's Gary Hedrick.
Right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of our program. Thanks for joining us as we continue this series of studies in the book of Daniel. Now, on the last program, we were talking about the fact that Daniel is such a powerful prophetic book, the critics really don't know what to do with it. They tinker around with Daniel and they try to prove that it's a forgery written 400 or so years after the time of Daniel, but it just doesn't work, because all of the evidence points toward Daniel being recognized as prophetic scripture from earliest times. For example, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, you've got the book of Daniel all over the place. We know that the Qumran community, for instance, which goes back 2,000 years, the very people who hid those scrolls there in the hills around the Dead Sea, they considered the book of Daniel to be scripture. It wasn't even an issue to them. The book of Daniel was the word of God. In fact, some scholars believe the Qumran community was actually based on the book of Daniel, and that they got their end time chronology from Daniel chapter 9. So we know from history and from archaeology that the book of Daniel goes way back. Now, what the critics will do is, they'll say, but the book of Daniel is not recognized as prophecy in Judaism. And you know what? It's true. Daniel is not grouped among the prophets in the Jewish Bible, in the Hebrew Bible. You see, in the Hebrew Bible, you've got three divisions of the scriptures. First, you've got the Torah, which is the five books of Moses. Second, there's the Nevi'im, which is the prophets. And third, the Ketuvim, or the writings. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. The Torah, the prophets, and the writings. And it's true. The book of Daniel is not grouped in the prophets or in the Nevi'im in the Jewish Bible. It's in the writings or the Ketuvim, not in the Nevi'im. So the suggestion is that since Daniel is not grouped with the prophetic writings in the Hebrew Bible, then it should be viewed more as history than as prophecy. But here's what the critics don't understand. There's a reason why the book of Daniel is not considered a prophetic book in modern Judaism. You know what it is? It's because of the messianic prophecies. The book of Daniel is a problem for the rabbis, frankly, because it spells out in great detail the elements of God's prophetic plan, including the first coming of the Messiah and even the time of his death. Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks even shows that there is a time gap between the 69th and the 70th weeks, something no other prophet said anything about. That time gap is the church age. That's us. The period between the first and second comings of the Messiah. And Daniel is the only prophet who shows us exactly where that time gap falls. You say, I want to see it. All right, I'll show you. Flip over to Daniel 9, verse 25. Look what he says. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now these are weeks of years. In other words, 1 week equals 7 years. It's like a code, and it's very common in Jewish apocalyptic literature. We know that from the Dead Sea Scrolls. So there are 70 weeks in Daniel's prophecy. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, verse 24 says. But the 70 weeks, or 490 years, are divided into three segments. First, there are 7 weeks, or 49 years. Then there are 62 weeks, or 434 years. And then there is a final period of 1 week, or 7 years. Three segments. 7 plus 62 plus 1 equals 70 weeks. By the way, this is all covered in our booklet, Israel, God's Timepiece. Now watch this. Daniel 9:26, he says, "And after 62 weeks, that is after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off." In other words, after the 69 weeks, the Messiah will be killed. At the end of the 483 years, the Messiah will be killed. And then in verse 27, we have the beginning of the 70th week. It says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." So you have three segments of time, 7 weeks plus 62 weeks plus 1 week, 49 years plus 434 years plus 7 years, three segments. And the Messiah is killed when? Between the 69th and 70th weeks. It's after the 69th week and before the 70th week. That means there has to be a time space between the 69th and 70th weeks. Are you still with me? The only way the Messiah can be cut off after the 69th week without being cut off in the 70th week is if there is a gap between the 69th and 70th weeks. This is why Daniel is so important, especially when it comes to messianic prophecy, because Daniel is the one who shows us the time gap between the 69th and 70th weeks, a very important prophetic concept. Daniel is the one who talks about the cutting off of the Messiah or the killing of the Messiah, and Daniel is the one who dates the cutting off of the Messiah sometime in the first century AD, some 40 years before the destruction of the temple. So it's not hard to see why the rabbis aren't real big on the book of Daniel. It's almost like Daniel was a Christian, like he was one of those crazy messianics talking about the Messiah getting killed and all that sort of thing. Totally un-Jewish, right? No. Un-rabbinic maybe, but not un-Jewish. You see, here's what happened. Much of what the rabbis have taught over the past 2,000 years has been in response to Christian teaching. In other words, the rabbis are not only influenced by the Bible itself, but now they're also influenced by their desire to counteract Christian teaching or messianic teaching. Isaiah 53 is a perfect example. Isaiah 53 is so clearly and unmistakably messianic, and yet the rabbis for the past 2,000 years have been explaining it away by saying it's an allegory about the Jewish nation. But then a few years ago, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Schneerson, died. And what did his followers do? You see, bless their hearts, they believed Schneerson was the Messiah. They even built him a home in Israel, hoping he would make Aliyah and start the Messianic Age, because Jewish tradition says the Messianic Age starts when the Messiah arrives in Israel. So they believed he was the Messiah. But the poor man suffered a series of strokes, and he died. What did his followers do? They went to Isaiah 53, and they said, "Look, it says right here that the Messiah will die and then be resurrected." And for weeks and even months after Rabbi Schneerson died, there were people posted at his grave, waiting for him to be resurrected. Some of them are still waiting for a resurrection. You know what I said when I read that in the paper, where it said they were waiting for the rabbi to be resurrected based on Isaiah 53? You know what I said? I said, "Hallelujah! They're 2,000 years too late." And I don't mean that in a mean way or in a cocky way. My heart goes out to those people. But they're 2,000 years too late. Yes, Isaiah 53 is about the Messiah. And yes, it prophesied that he would die. And yes, it prophesied that he would be resurrected, where it says he would prolong his days and prosper. But it happened 2,000 years ago, and his name was not Rabbi Schneerson, but Rabbi Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. That's why Daniel was switched from the prophets to the writings. It wasn't always that way. According to historians, the switch took place sometime between the 5th and the 8th centuries AD. Before that, Daniel was in the Nevi'im, in the Septuagint, which goes back to the 2nd century BC. Daniel is grouped with the prophets. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, he's a prophet, and Jesus himself called him Daniel the prophet. So the argument that Daniel should not be considered prophecy because the rabbis don't consider it future prophecy simply does not hold water. It has been considered prophecy from earliest times. Besides, the Dead Sea Scrolls have shown us that Daniel was not written in the Western Aramaic of the Maccabean period, but in the Eastern Aramaic of the 6th century BC. We know that now, and that's precisely when Daniel lived. So the critics are a little bit behind the times, aren't they? Well, that's it for today. I hope you'll join us next time as we move into Daniel chapter 2 and talk about Daniel's image. Until then, this is your friend, Gary Hedrick, saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. It's always good to have you with us, whether you're listening from home, at work, or in your car. You've been listening to Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher here on Messianic Perspectives, and his exposition of Daniel chapter 2. The title of this series is Daniel's Image, Key to Things to Come. This truly is an amazing prophecy. Just to think that 2,500 years ago, God gave a vision through King Nebuchadnezzar that provided a detailed outline of history from antiquity right up to the end of time. If there are skeptics who don't believe the Bible, this prophecy alone should be enough to convince them that the Bible is no ordinary book. If he was not inspired by God, how could Daniel have known that the Medo-Persians would conquer Babylon, and that the Greeks would conquer the Medo-Persians, and that the Romans would conquer the Greeks? And how could he have known that the Roman Empire would pass away for a time, only to manifest itself again just before the coming of the Messiah? How could Daniel have known these things unless he was inspired by God? If you enjoyed today's program, you'll be glad to know that the entire series is available on compact disc. The title again is Daniel's Image, Key to Things to Come. And it's available for a contribution of just $6 or more to this ministry. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues with Daniel's Image, Key to Things to Come, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.